Today's gospel is found in the 12th chapter of John, beginning with verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took out a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, a keeper of the money bag. He used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're concluding the series, The Great Detachment. As the song has said, we turn our eyes upon Jesus, and because of that, the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The great detachment is placing our hope, our attention on eternal matters, letting go of what holds on to us in this world. And just a quick review of what we've covered the last 4 weeks. First, to let go of the devil, the world, and our sinful self, to hold on to Christ, we talked about. Jesus was prayerful and attentive to Scripture, and this gave him the fortitude to resist the devil. I said a few 4 weeks back about a Native American teaching of two wolves. An old Cherokee asked his grandson that there are two wolves fighting for between good and evil in his soul. He described them at length and then the characteristics of the good and the evil wolf. And the grandchild asks, which wolf wins? And the grandfather replies, the one you feed. So that was letting go of the world. Mind over mush was the next topic, that the ideas in your mind rule your world. Because Jesus lives in me, I have nothing to hide, nothing to fear, nothing to prove, and nothing to lose. And let that attitude rule your world. We talked about 2 weeks ago the power to persevere. Finding the power to persevere is remembering who we are, to remember that we are God's beloved sons and daughters, and that is a healing grace. But to remember that we live in the grace of Christ, which leads to the second observation, don't dis grace. Don't dis grace. Don't disgrace your family. And finally, last week we talked about our fixation with fixing. That if we see people as in Christ, it helps us overcome that we are not counting their sins against them, that we're not one up or one down, but we're brothers and sisters. We're adult to adult, and we can be ambassadors of his grace and his love, which allows us to start seeing the world through God's eyes. Each week this Lent, I prayed that our attachments to the world would become less, and which is this sound of detachment again, detaching from the world, but that our attachment to Christ would become stronger. Now, if we were to have a Christian resume, you know, the resume you use when you put forward your credentials and if you're qualified for a job, what would it look like? What would be on that document? A huge part of the world, living in Christ or living in the world, is to focus on what we look like on the outside. And it's not just how we look, like the clothes we wear and if our hair is combed or too frizzy or too flat. The clothes we wear but it's how we appear to other people. Do we seem smart or wise? Are we respected? Are we esteemed? What looks good on your resume? What is impressive? What looks good to us and what looks good to a lot of other people? What credentials really matter? I lived in a town that I would call a storefront town. The buildings were unattractive, but they would put on Main Street facades to make them look more impressive. And when I lived there, it was kind of an Old West style. You know how the high fronts on Old Western towns? Now, it's more of the New West style, which is extravagant and rock and stone and wood and copper. That town is a beautiful place to shop. It has great shops and bars and restaurants, all looking beautiful on the outside. A counselor I knew there, who met a lot of broken people who were from that town, said that that town is about so many of the people of the town were also storefront people as well. They lived in beautiful homes, they drove expensive cars, they dressed in expensive clothes, but that was just their outer life. Their inner life was a shambles. There was more divorces, more infidelity, more drug use, more white-collar crime than in other communities of similar size. So they all looked good, put together on the outside, but their inner life was degenerate. I conclude today's series called The Great Attachment with the reminder that God sees all of who we are. He sees us on the inside and he sees us on the outside. The world gives awards and diplomas, certificates for accomplishments, and it's great to have achievements. It's great to be recognized for those awards because it's good, and those do look good on your resume. But when we look at our lives through heaven's eyes, God pays attention to what's happening on the inside of us, what's shaping our character. I think all of you here probably went to high school. Was a letterman's jacket a thing when you went to high school? Having your letter, and then if you were getting awards or medals, you would pin that to your letter, and you'd wear that around, and people with a lot of medals would jingle jangle as they walked down the hall. Now, that can be impressive, or can make you jealous of other people. But you may have had some people in high school you thought were, oh, what an annoying person. But then you met them later and found out, actually, they're kind of cool. I didn't realize that they were like that because you just knew them on the outside, not on the inside. I would guess that not many of you are still wearing your letter jackets around, are you? It's a great thing to be awarded, but it's not what matters ultimately. So as I think about what looks good on your resume, this is my main thing for you to take home today. Your resume for Christ is integrite. You like that? Your resume for Christ is integrite. It's kind of a little swag with that word. Integrity. Integrity. What does that mean? Well, it means the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. But the definition of integrity I want you to think of today is this: the state of being whole and undivided. That integrity means that who you are on the outside matches who you are on the inside. Now, that's not easy to do because, you know, there's a lot of things inside of us that we don't want anyone to know about. But Jesus helps us in that, and he shows us exactly how it is that we can be. He gives examples in Scripture. Have you ever unloaded your dishwasher and the cup looks great on the outside? You pull out your favorite mug, just ready to pour some coffee into it, and then, ooh, what's in there? And it didn't get clean on the inside. Jesus says that's how it is with the Pharisees. They were concerned about what was on the outside of the cup, but on the inside it was filthy. It was full of greed and self-indulgence. He calls them blind. And he says, first clean the cup on the inside, and then the outside will also be clean. Do you remember King David before he was king? He was just a shepherd boy. He was off tending the sheep while the other brothers were being looked at to see if they would be the future king. And the Lord said to Samuel, who is going to anoint the new king, this: do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Integrity. Lord looks at the heart. Your resume in Christ is integrity. Saul, which we heard of today, Paul, he was renamed after he met Jesus on the road, had a lot of spiritual credentials. He had a great resume. He came to realize, though, that all those things were not so important because God saves both the bright and the dull. He writes in 2 Corinthians that when he asked God to take away some thorn in his side, the Lord says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." Paul matched his outside with his inner life. It's quite an impressive resume if you read it in Philippians. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. He had zeal for the law. He persecuted the church. But then in verse 7 it says, "But what was to my profit now, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." All the things that were impressive to everybody around him, he now sees as not so impressive. And he turns his sights to being one who wants to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That verse, that section ends with this famous verse that we love so much that says, "Have I been obtained all this or already been made perfect? No, I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. I do not consider myself having taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for that which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So is Paul saying that everything we did before in our life is worthless? Every credential, every teaching, every learning, is it all null and void? Absolutely not. Because what Christ does, what God does, and it says this in Romans 8:28, is that we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. You see, God takes our experiences, the good and the bad, and he integrates them into our life in Christ. They're not null and void. They can be used and expressed for his glory. And upcoming, in about a month, we're starting a new class of Stephen ministers. And I've seen that especially true in the ministry that Stephen ministers have, because they take their life and they place it before God and they say, "God, how can you use me?" Many of our Stephen ministers are not only in this church, but everywhere, are people that have something to say because they've been through stuff. Maybe they've survived cancer. Maybe someone in their life has died. Maybe they've struggled with an addiction or parented a rebellious kid or was that rebellious kid. See, all those experiences make us who we are. And in Christ, those things are not null and void. They are integrated into our life in Christ. If Paul rewrote his resume, and I'd like you actually to take out your Bibles on this one and turn to Romans chapter 12. If Paul rewrote his resume, I think he would include these things. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it begins with. Everybody find it? If you find it, the page number, I forgot to look it up. Anyone have the page number? 922. So it says, "Love in action." So this would be Paul rewriting his resume. "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It's mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now that's the resume, isn't it? If Paul were to rewrite his resume of all his credentials of being a Hebrew of Hebrews, he would end because Christ has transformed him in this way. Are we going to live this way perfectly? Absolutely not. We are sinners saved by grace. We're one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. But these are the things that look good on our resume in Christ. It is our integrity. It's our character. Because honestly, friends, it's not really about us, is it? It's not about how great we are. It's about how awesome Christ is as he saved us, as he called us, as he loves us. One thing that I was taught a long time ago, and I try to do it every time I get a compliment or an attaboy or something that I did well. You see, those are kind of like collecting a bouquet of flowers. And that bouquet, if you know about cut flowers, these are not real flowers, but they're beautiful. A cut bouquet of flowers, eventually what happens to it? It kind of goes, kind of wilts. But when you receive good things from other people, like collecting a bouquet of flowers, you have a couple options. One, you can put them in a vase somewhere and let them sit there and watch them wilt. But what this wise man said to me is, what you can do each day, instead of collecting those flowers of compliments and attaboys, offer them to God. Offer that good things that God did through you for other people to God in his glory. And then they'll never fade or rot or wilt or get petals all over the countertop. They will be enduring. So friends, that's what looks good on your resume. Being people who are of integrity, of humility, of grace and love. And that's the people that God desires us to be and experience. And that kind of people will bring other people to the goodness of God because they'll see it in your lives and live it for others. So would you pray with me, please? Jesus, thank you that we are saved by your grace. And Lord, I think there's a lot of times we think, how can you love me? How can you forgive me for what I've done? But God, you say that those things are the past, and we are to press on to what is ahead, to be forgiven of the things that are behind us, and to learn from those things, but to press on to give you glory into the future. Lord, today is the first day of the rest of our lives as we receive in a moment communion, and in that meal we are forgiven and whole. Lord, may you lessen our attachments to the world and increase our attachments to you. Thank you for coming, for ministering, for loving, for teaching, for dying and rising for each and every one of us. Lord, we bless you today and thank you that you are the one that builds ultimately our spiritual resume. In your name we pray. Amen.